about you are at the center of your success. So it's got to be about you, not about somebody else, not about the noisy things, about you. Who are you, right? And what does success mean to you? Then on the stage of success, there's three players. There's freedom, there's fulfillment, and there's balance. And nobody thinks of success in terms of those things, but that's really underlying.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here with Linda Bucher. How are you?
I'm super great, Ben. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited. I was obviously on your video podcast, Conversations Worth Your While. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who hasn't met Linda yet, I wrote this down for your LinkedIn profile. Our guest today is lighting the way for those who are excited about giving their gifts to the world. Linda is a master certified life coach, a mindset mentor, a transformational speaker, author, and MBA, host of Conversations Worth Your While, which I humbly got to be a part of, and you're a wealth of knowledge. So, Linda, I'm just excited to be with you today. I don't know where this conversation will go, and that's part of the excitement of it.
I completely agree. It's fantastic.
Let's get started with that headline, lighting the way for those who are excited about their giving their gifts to the world. Tell me a little bit about what that means to you.
You know, that's something that I discovered because when I first set out, I said, oh, I'm going to be a life coach and then I'm going to be a speaker. And then I ended up writing a book. Like, I was doing things, but I didn't understand the overarching role that I was playing, you know, on the planet. And so, you know, I was doing a lot of things in a lot of different ways, and consolidating that, it was very difficult. Like, what am I doing? And I really sat back and gave myself some time to let it come to me. And, you know, I realized that that is the thing. So it's lighting the way. How am I lighting the way? However a client needs it. I've ghostwritten books. I've created websites. I've, you know, pure life coached. I've done, like, there's so many different methodologies, right? And when I looked at each one of those, I said, this is what's happening, is I'm shining my light, like, into the dark corners of, you know, your inner wisdom, so you can see what's there, because you have the answer. I don't have the answer. You have the answer. So I'm lighting the way. And all the people that come to me, they have something significant to give to the world. And when the universe entrusts you with a gift to give to the world, you know, there's only so long you can deny it. So those are the people, and that's all they need is a light. They've got the answers. They've got everything they need. They just need a light to help them actually get those gifts out into the world. So it took me a long time to realize that's what I was doing. And when I, you know, cause I mean, in our careers, how many elevator speeches do we try on? Like 200? Yeah. You know, we start trying formulas and all these things. And then I thought, what is my gift? You know, the thing that is entrusted to me by the universe. And that's what it is.
So. It's lighting the way. And we're going to dissect that so much. We'll get into how that actually works. But one thing that came up for me is, who lit your way? Was there any a time where you mentioned all these elevator speeches and or pitches and trying to figure out the best way to market yourself and brand yourself? Who helped light your way and figure out, like, who Linda was?
Well, That's kind of a double question. So who helped me figure out who I was? That is a journey that I didn't want to go on. But I started finally. Not, it was like, you know, it was about the year 2000 when I knew there was something that had to give and I had to find who I was, but I wasn't ready to do it until 2009. So going on the internal journey happened.
Not to interrupt, but tell me about that. So what was happening at 2000 and it took you 9 years? Like, are you comfortable talking about that a little
sure,
bit?
Sure. Yeah, sure. So, All right. So in 2000, I probably had reached close to a breaking point. My life looked perfect on paper. I had a family, I had my kids, I had a really good high paying job with the power suits and the nice office. And, you know, I had all of that going on, but I felt gapingly unfulfilled. And I felt guilty. Like, who am I to be unfulfilled? There's so many people that have so much less in the world than I have. But it was a feeling I couldn't shake. And what it was is because I wasn't fulfilling my purpose. But I didn't know that at the time. And so I started looking outside of myself, which is what people do, for the answer. Oh, let's see if the want ads have an answer. Maybe it's my job. You know, let's see if the marriage counselor has an answer. Maybe it's my marriage. You know, like what is the answer, right? I didn't know where to look. I didn't have any idea. So, I was pretty miserable. You know, my husband was an alcoholic and I had to hide that from my family. That's basically a full-time job right there when you're trying to hide someone else's something and take, you know, pick up all the slack when you got a DWI and things like that. And he was, you know, people who suffer from alcoholism are suffering, but I wasn't qualified to help him not suffer. And so all I could do at the time was feel sorry for myself, right? Which is not good helping him either. And so, you know, I wanted to blame something else and I didn't understand that I was the one giving all my power away, that I was the one not helping myself. Hope in that land of hoping and waiting for someone or something else to change. And that is the most disempowering place you can live. And I lived in that place for like decades. Mm-hmm. So I remember somewhere around 2000, I bought a book. It was around 2000 because I remember I just adopted my second son. And because I had this unfulfilled hole inside of me. And the book was by Martha Beck, and it was called Finding Your Own North Star, Claiming the Life You're Meant to Live. And that title alone made me go, oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. I want to claim the life I'm meant to live because I don't know what life it is, but it's not this one. I knew that like for sure. And I started reading the book and I was like, oh, this is fantastic. I read the introduction. It was fabulous. I read chapter one. I'm like, oh yeah, I started in chapter two. Now it's asking me to fill in the blanks. I'm like, oh, I got to answer questions. I'm like, I don't want to go on some long drawn out journey. Just give me the answers. I am a doer. If you tell me what to do, I will do it. And so I ended up putting the book down somewhere in chapter three and it made its way to the bottom of the cedar chest where it hung out for 9 years. During that 9 years, my husband passed away. My kids were like 3, 5, and 7, and he just didn't wake up one day. So I had that and 3 grieving kids, sudden widow, sudden single mom. You know, you're doing a lot at that point when you're doing it alone and you're grieving because you think you're making smart decisions, but you're in a brain fog for about a year and a half. And so life got harder instead of easier. eventually, you know, I started getting a lot of physical symptoms that happen when you're going the wrong way. When you are not in accordance with your soul, right? Your body's going to tell you. I mean, stress manifests physically and it comes from many things and comes in your head and it comes when you are not going in the right direction for you. It's like the GPS saying, make a U-turn in a very loud way. So I knew things had to change, and I was cleaning out that cedar chest 9 years later, right? I'm cleaning out the cedar chest to donate books for rummage sale for my son's school, and there this book is again, you know, finding your own North Star, claiming the life you're meant to live. And a same response, I go, oh, I want that.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, like the Pina Colada song. Oh, it's you. You've been here for me all along. You know? And so then I couldn't stop filling in the blanks. I was so excited to go on this inner journey. So I just, I knew it would have been a good thing to do, but I wasn't ready. And it took me 9 years to be ready. And that's very common with people. Once they know things have to change and they recognize they're going to have to change for themselves and the land of hoping and waiting hasn't actually been paying off, it still takes them time to decide to make a change. And so that's when I went, I'm like, who is the author of this book? Oh, turns out she runs a life coaching school. And then it was like the lightning bolt hit me when I went on their website. I'm like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be a life coach. And then I was like, but what's a life coach? I don't know, but I knew for sure it was what it was meant to be. So that was a giant course correction. And that's really when I began to really find myself, because that's when I started looking, right? So that was 2009. And then the second part of your question is, who has made a big difference, like as far as helping me to give my gifts to the world, which is lighting the way for others? I went through what many people do. So on this scale of readiness, you know, you first start with, I'm not ready. I'm not doing it. I can't do it. I don't have the capacity to do it. Or what? What are you talking about? Nothing's wrong. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. You know, so you go from there to this next place where I was like, oh, I can do this and I can do it all by myself. I'm smart. I'm capable. I can figure this out. And so I spent a lot of years in my coaching practice helping people as a coach. But and even though, you know, I had like 27 years in the corporate world experience and a master's degree in business, being a solopreneur in the healing arts, especially in a digital age, was way different than what I had learned and what I had known and experienced. So, but I like to solve puzzles. So I'm like, oh, I'll figure this out. You know,
yes.
So three Love websites it. Later, you know, I was like, I like to play on that side. And so, you know, I did a lot of that and I, you know, was successful in my business. And then I decided I wanted to retool. And as soon as I tried to retool, I was lost. I was like, wait a minute. You know, you get all this, a lot of noise from the digital world. Like, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. But it's not one size fits all. It does. That's not how we are as humans. And so then I joined a organization called Shift Co. And the founder, Terry Maxwell, what I've learned from her has made a huge difference in how I'm moving forward with my gifts. So instead of being a coach who speaks for free, I'm moving into rebranding as a thought leader, because that's really what I do and who I am. And then coaching is one of the services under the umbrella of lighting the way for others so they can give their gifts to the world. So that's a long story, but it's kind of got a couple stories in there.
I like stories, and I like when there's multiple narratives, because, I mean, you said it yourself. We all have a different story. We all have different gifts. It's your job to light the way for people to find their gifts rather than be like, do this, do that, do that. It's funny because there's a common narrative, and it's not wrong, and it's success leaves clues. And it's true that success leaves clues, but it feels like there's so many people that are like, I did it this way. This is the way to do it. Do it my way. And if you don't follow the playbook, you're going to fail and it's your fault. Well, maybe that playbook wasn't the right sport or that right fit for that person. And maybe their way is super unique and different than the way that, again, success leaves clues, but that doesn't mean that that square peg is going to fit in that round hole, right? So talk a little bit about that, like just allowing people to find their way and find their own story. Like, I guess one thing we've talked about in the past is like, what's your definition of success? And that's different than what my definition might be. And my way might be different, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I love that you brought that up. One of the sections in a book I wrote back in 2014 was about success on your own terms. And I've since converted it into just a free ebook available on my website. And the reason I wrote that section of the book was because I had discovered one day I woke up and I said, holy cow, I am chasing someone else's definition of success, because I never stopped to ask myself, what does success mean to me? And so all that climbing the corporate ladder, you know, nicer house, nicer car, whatever, that message came from my dad, because that's what I watched him do. And it was loud and clear. But what I never saw, which should have been loud and clear too, was my mom as a piano teacher doing what she loved every single day, feeling fulfilled. And so I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Success looks different for everybody. And the loud and noisy ones are the ones that we feel, because, you know, as humans, we want to fit in. We want to follow the crowd. I mean, that's you know, social psychology. That's true that people do that naturally. And so when you get really noisy things about success coming at you, and I love the success leave clues. I've never heard that before, and I absolutely love that. But it's very noisy. And so we tend to think that's the only way. And that's what I had caught myself back doing, you know, a decade ago. So I have redefined success. And actually in the ebook, I have a process for doing it. Right. And, you know, in a nutshell, I say there's three players on the stage of success. Well, let me back up. First of
Please.
All, okay. Here's my, maybe someday, you know, I'll be quoted by other people saying this, but this is my thing. When you wrap what you're doing and how you're doing it around who you are, success and happiness will meet you there. So, that's about you are at the center of your success. So it's got to be about you, not about somebody else, not about the noisy things, about you. Who are you, right? And what does success mean to you? Then on the stage of success, there's three players. There's freedom, there's fulfillment, and there's balance. And nobody thinks of success in terms of those things, but that's really underlying. If you want to be successful in certain ways so that you can, you know, buy a Learjet, right? If that's your goal, okay? Well, why do you want the Learjet? Well, because I want to be able to hop over to France for lunch, right? So you want the freedom to hop over to France for lunch. And you want the means to be able to go do that. So when we talk about what we want to do, you know, what kind of freedoms we want to have, then we got to go a little deeper as to why. And so that's what this book will take people through, to really get to your personal motivations, because that's what is underlying success. So you've got your freedom. You've got your fulfillment. That's what was missing when my life looked perfect on paper, but I was gapingly unfulfilled. I had success according to what people would look at on the outside, but on the inside, it didn't match my values, right? And what was important to me. Freedom is a huge, important value to me. Fulfillment, right? It has to fill me up what I'm doing. I have to know I'm making a difference. And then balance. When you're in this place of shifting and longing, you're shifting over here to take care of this, then you're longing to be able to do that, and you shift over there, and then you're longing to do this. So that is really being out of balance. And that's huge for success, because you can have all these other pillars of success, but if you are feeling completely out of balance, something's suffering. Your relationships at home, your relationship with yourself, you know, your health, your sleep, something's going to be given if you're not in balance. So those are the main players of success. And when I give talks on this, or, you know, the next question I ask is like, okay, so what, you know, what's next, right? And they go,
yeah, but Linda, I'm going to get out the pencil. What is next? What is next?
What's next? They go, but what about the money? What about the money? And so, like, I tell a little story. I remember I worked for a corporation, and they sent me to Chicago for a week to learn about how to design rates for pipelines. Now, that is juicy, let me tell
you. Yeah, I love it.
So you build a pipeline and people want to move natural gas down it. How much do you charge, right? Per whatever, you know, of gas, right? So they taught me something which is a perfect fit for what about the money for success. And it's called the revenue requirements approach to rate making in that case, right? Revenue requirements. And what it really means is add up. It's what we do in business all the time anyway. You add up all your costs, right? And you put on a reasonable profit and then the taxes you have to pay on that reasonable profit. And all that together includes your profit. And that's how much total money you need to bring in. And you divide it by your units and that's what you charge. So when it comes to success, now we're going to think about the things we have to add up, but we're adding up the freedom, the fulfillment, and the balance we want to have. So of all those things, now that we have dived deep into know what our motivations are and what we would, love to do, like what kind of freedom, if that freedom you want to have is to be able to start work at 10 o'clock and finish at 2, because that's like what I like to do,
Sounds like a nice day.
Right? Yeah. And what are you going to do with your off time? Are you going on expensive vacations? Or no, all I need to do is be in nature. I just need to go to the park for a walk, which I will be doing today. When you finally know what your true motivations are, then you can say, what is the revenue? How much money is required for those things? And guess what? It's so much less than what you thought, what your ego needed in the world's definition of success. It's so much less, which is like, woo, phew, all right. Now I don't have to push so hard. Also, pushing keeps me out of balance. So it helps you reassess how much money you need because now you're looking at your true motivations. And the caveat that I put on the true motivations is when you are writing down in the ebook, all the things you would want to do with your freedom, right? And like if you want to be kayaking, oh, I want to buy a kayak. I got to put my money in there I have to have enough money for a kayak because kayaking is important to me, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it happens to be, that there's one big caveat. It cannot be used as a measuring stick by you or anybody else. And so that's huge because we tend to measure naturally. Oh, what's that person got? What are they doing? I want to measure myself. Mm-hmm. And then we get into this compare and despair. So then we try to aspire to be where they are because it looks good, right? But when you're being honest with yourself and redefining success for who you are, really being honest, right? You could say, you know what? This is all I need. I don't need more. If nobody were looking, if nobody were looking and I could separate my ego out of this equation, this is the core of success. So that's how we redefine it. So what it means for me is living according to my values, which are freedom and ease are some huge values for me.
Yes.
So my days are built around my freedom and my ease. And I'm in balance. My days are built around my ideal balance, which I have people do in this ebook. You have you start with, what's it look like now on a pie chart? Where's your energy going? Where's your capacity going? And what would you ideally like? And then diving even deeper. So my pie chart is in alignment with my values, right? I'm balanced now like that. And same with being fulfilled. Of course, when you know that what you're doing is your purpose, when you feel that at a gut level and you know that it matters, then it's totally fulfilling. I light up, right? So I live my definition of success and, it's different for everybody. But when you go through this process, you get to discover what it truly is for you. Outside of your roles and responsibilities, outside of pressure from other people to keep up, and outside of your ego. That's the point, to do it that way.
That's the key. I get to figure out what my definition of success is, live in alignment with that. You've mentioned this ebook. Where do I get it?
Oh, right on my website. And I'll give you the link. You can put it into the descriptions.
Send it to me. I'll make a note so it's in the description.
Yeah. It's a simple little ebook with a worksheet, but it's like when I got that Finding Your Own North Star book and I wasn't willing to fill in the blanks. It's not going to help you if you don't fill in the blanks. You got to fill in the blanks.
You have to do the work. And I'll be the first to admit, guys, so I'm in a training right now and I'll watch the video and then I'll get to the workshop, fill in the blank section. And the video, of course, will take me 10 minutes to watch and then I'll take 2 days to actually do the workshop. But the one thing I'm holding myself accountable to do is I'm not actually moving into the next video until I do that homework. So I am still procrastinating sometimes, but I'm not skipping over that self-work, which at times is the most important part. So do the self-work, guys. We'll put that link in the description. You mentioned your values. I'm curious just in general, what if someone doesn't quite understand what their values are? Is right. there a great way to determine what those are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of the times when people come to me and they feel like they have a gift to give the world, but they don't know what it is, or they feel there is a purpose, but they don't know what it is. So we go on like a little, you know, safari, a little discovery safari.
Ooh, right? Yeah.
I like that. So there's the questions that I ask would be, you know, when I say like, who are you? Like, so maybe it's someone who's just experienced empty nest, right? Or they're just retired and they had an identity and now it's completely shifted. Like, I am that, but not full time anymore, right? So, who am I? They say, you know, they don't know. They're like, I don't know. Outside of being a mother, outside of being a CEO, I don't know who I am. So there's questions that we can ask. So some questions that are kind of fun. I'll give you an example of three of them. So simple ones like, what am I doing when I lose time? Right? Because you're getting to know yourself. And if they, nothing right now, I'm out of time. I don't know. Right. Well, can you remember a time that time just flew by? Like, what were you doing? Right. So I'll ask questions like that. And it's not the what. It's not like, oh, well, I was inner tubing down a lazy river. Oh, so that's what you should do for a living. You should inner tube down lazy rivers. That's not the answer. It's to connect them with their essential self. Right? That the essence of themselves. That's what we're trying to do is connect with that, because that's the part of you that knows the answer. Your mind should be the slave, right? That should be there. Those are the worker bees. That's not where the answers are. The answers are in your gut, in your soul. It's your essence. So we got to reconnect to your essence. So that's a fun question.
I like it.
I might ask a question like, what's your favorite hobby? Right. And so like, I remember I was doing a workshop for a high school and one of the kids, he said, skiing. And I said, oh, I love skiing. I ski every weekend. That's fantastic. Let's talk about skiing. The answer isn't skiing. It's the next question of why. And I said to him, why do you like skiing? He said, oh, because I like pushing my limits and seeing what I can do. I like going fast and I'm right on the edge. And I notice that every time I do it, I get a little bit, you know, better, like the edge is further away. I got to push a little more. I go, so I'm getting better because I'm living on the edge and pushing my limits, right? And I said, that's fabulous. I do not want to push my limits whatsoever when I'm on my skis. I want to commune with nature. I am, you know, I've got Norwegian wood playing in my mind and that is my pace. I'm just swooshing down at that nice, easy pace. I'm aware of the outsides and my breath and, you know, the nature around me. I'm aware of all that. And I love skiing because it makes me commune with nature and it just gives me a beautiful energy. Totally different reasons. So the answer is the why. So what does this say about me? I learn about me. He learns about him. He likes to be on the cutting edge. This is a clue to moving forward. Right. And then another last thing I'll give you, I have, you know, 40 questions that I ask when I take my people through this.
But I love this.
Another one that's really fantastic when they don't know who they are is I ask them to write down, I don't know, 3 to 5 names of 3 to 5 people that they really connect with, naturally connect with. And so, you know, Joe, Jim, Sarah, Jane, whatever. Okay. So then I say, all right, let's start with Joe. What are the characteristics that you're drawn to that you can, that make you connect with Joe so much? Right. And they write down these characteristics and then Jim and then Jane and Sarah. Okay. And then, now they're understanding what they're drawn to in other people. Right. And so that's a way of self-discovery. But the kicker is then I go, okay, now, there's you spot it, you got it. So how do you have each one of these characteristics? Mm. And this is how they get to learn themselves. And this is how they're getting to learn their own values, the characteristics they admire, right? How might I already have those characteristics myself? Why am I drawn to them? So again, we're diving a little deeper into the why. And this is how people get to know themselves. Once they get to know themselves better, then of course we've got to get rid of the schmutz that's in the way of them being themselves, because now they're worried about, what if I lose important relationships? What if they get all nervous? And you know, and it's like, well, let's just be who you are in a safe way, right? So once they can do that now, and that there's no more schmutz and fear wrapped around this, who they've discovered, now it goes really fast to discover what's next, what's right, what's my thing, right? That's, so you kind of start slow, and then you've got to help them remove the fear, but then, ooh, like, this is my thing. And then the next question after that is, all right, how do I package all that into something meaningful for the world? So that's the next step after that.
So it might take a little bit of time. You get clarity, and then once you have that clarity on your thing and your own special blend, you can start moving quickly, I imagine. I'm curious, in this whole gaining clarity phase, do you recommend, so these people I look up to, should I ask them if they agree that I'm a certain way? Should I get feedback? Is there much external work, or is it mostly the internal work?
It's mostly internal, because one of the goals is to stop asking for outside validation.
Because right? they'll tell you, make more money, get the car, do what I did, ..
Or, well, the thing is...
Potentially, not my most of my friends wouldn't say that.
And most people are well-meaning. They tell you what to do because they want what's right for you, but they don't know what's right for you. No. Only you know what's right for you. So, and most people in some way are people-pleasing, and they're contorting some part of themselves so that they don't lose a relationship, or so that they look good, or so they can prove their self-worth or their significance. And that's the work that I do with my coaching clients, my life coaching clients, is we're getting rid of that so that you show up authentically you, the same you, at work, at home, in your romantic relationships, with your friends. And there's no difference. You don't have to put on any costumes to show up somewhere. And that you're so truly comfortable with who you are that it truly doesn't matter what other people think of you. Truly. Like, not like in a talk to the hand way. No, that means you do care. It's in that peaceful, you have like a peaceful, quiet confidence of knowing and loving who you are, and knowing, you know, you're a good person, and understanding if other people don't see what you know, that's okay. That's okay. Like, that's where we get to. That's the balance I'm talking about. And as you, what you can probably gain from this is that life balance, that whole feeling, having a balanced, rewarding life, it's not an additive thing. We're already so busy. We don't add one more thing. It's a reductive process. And when you're removing that need to be liked, right? That need to be, that self-importance, that righteousness, that victimization. Like, there's so many things when we remove all that, because that takes up a lot of our energy. When that's removed, all of a sudden we've made space. We found extra hours in a day. And we're like, how did that just happen? It's because we're moving in accordance with who we are and our own true values, and we're not using our energy in ways that are outside of those things. And we actually have more time and a higher quality of life.
I love this, Linda. It's a tough one, because I feel like I don't need to be liked, but I want to be liked. I feel like if I'm not at least a certain level likable, why would anyone listen to my show?
Well, here's the thing. It's not about you if you're likable or not. It's other people's tastes. So here's something that was explained to me, but I have no idea who the author is. I wish I could attribute this to somebody. It was explained to me as the 1/3 rule of tribes, and I know maybe we're not supposed to use that term anymore, tribes, but that's how it was named. So we can call it something else. It doesn't matter. And basically it goes like this. 1/3 of the people in the world don't care what you have to give. They don't care what you have to say. They don't get you and they don't really want it. And that's just statistics. And it's no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And then there's another third of the people that sometimes they get you and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they want what you have to give and sometimes they don't, no matter what you do. And then the last third, they're the ones who lean in. They totally get you. They want more of what you have to say. They want to know more. They want to talk with you deeply. And no matter what you do, they just get you. Now, here's the thing. Some people in our immediate circles, people that we love and care about, are in that first third. Like mm-hmm. My dad's there. He's never going to get me. He doesn't even want to get me. He doesn't understand. He says, I don't understand. And I had spent decades trying to explain to him who I am, right? I actually went so far as, not for him, but for myself, I was redecorating a bedroom maybe about, I don't know, 13 years ago in my old house. And I was really, it was the time I was discovering myself, like really discovering me. So I wrote some beautiful words in my own handwriting across the whole wall, ceiling to floor. It was the context of a book by Kobi Yamada called She. Mm. And it was beautiful affirmations about a woman who knows who she is and shows up authentically. And it's about celebration. So I wrote this. I was like, this is me. Finally, I recognize this is me. And my dad saw the wall and he put his hands on his hips and he goes, what is this shit? I don't even get it. And frankly, I think half of this is irresponsible, right? And it was hilarious because he's in that first third.
Yes.
He loves me like crazy and he would do anything for me. And so my response to him was, that's okay. Mm. So we got to stop trying to convince, cajole, explain to those first two thirds of people, because it's no matter what we do, it's up to them if they're going to get us or not get us, want what we got or not want what we have. And so then we can use our energy into giving to the people who are leaning in, who want to learn. Now, that doesn't mean we're not doing nice things for those other people. Like, I have good friends and family in those other two thirds. Mm-hmm. And they love me and I love them. And we'll do anything for each other. But I'm not trying to share what I know with them because it doesn't resonate with them. And that's fine. That's okay. I don't need them to like what I know and like who I am. I don't need that because they love me. So they don't need to like and get it. It's okay. So once you understand it's just statistics and it's not about you, now you can stop trying to get so many people to like you.
I love the elaboration because you are describing that, you know, that quiet, assured confidence in yourself that not everyone needs to hear my message. Not everyone's going to resonate with it. Not everyone's going to like me. They might love me. I personally want them to like me, but it's not required.
Right.
It's not required.
Exactly. And people can only see you through the lens of their own experience and their own fears and their own insecurities. Mm-hmm. They can't see you for who you are. They've got this lens and it's all schmutzed up with their own fears. So they can't see the true you. They can only see you through their fears and their insecurities and their experiences. And so to expect them to see the real you, it's unreasonable. Right? Because it's a lot of work that I'm doing with my clients to help you see the real you. We got to unschmutz your lens first. Mm-hmm. But we can't unschmutz everybody's lens. It would be nice, but that's not your job. So just be accepting and loving, regardless.
So I have one more note that I wrote down. I want to close with it because I think it's a great way to end. It's something we talked about previously. For now, let's go into the rapid fire round. Just short, sweet. Fill in the blank, either or questions, nothing too fancy, just, whatever comes to mind.
Okay.
I'm going to actually change them up slightly. So, favorite beverage?
Some delicious bourbon cocktail.
Ooh, okay. Favorite time of year?
Summer.
Summertime. Favorite thing that you're reading or learning right now?
Probably the coursework I'm doing for ShiftCo. Super fun, super interesting.
Tell me a little bit about ShiftCo.
So ShiftCo is a organization for conscious-based businesses, helps us to develop our business and collaborate with each other, and give you know, give to the world. So we work as little mini agencies within the within it, but we're learning and growing. There's coaching, there's a lot, so much education involved, and it's hands-on. So everyone's helping each other. It's a very beautiful organization that I'm in, and everybody should go look that up, especially before August 1st, because then the price goes up.
And what's a bummer is this will come out after August 1st, but we'll find a way to – it's still affordable, and I'm going to look that up myself, Shifco. One more question. We'll do weekends. Assuming that you are just – you're done with work, you're just going to relax, have Linda time. What do you love to do when you're just having Linda time? You're just doing something that lights you up.
Well, I like to putz around my house and I don't know, water the plants and do little things like that. But I especially love taking hikes. So on the weekends, we're pretty much always taking a hike. And I like to be outside, especially at night, sitting with the, at the fire pit, you know, just those things. I don't know. It's pretty simple.
I like those things as well. That's probably why we're friends, right?
Yeah.
So one more thing. So I wrote this down and I can't remember why, but I wrote down island analogy fascinating. What does that mean again?
Okay. So I use this metaphor that people are showing up on the island of playing it safe. But that's not the place from which your dreams can be realized and your gifts can be given to the world. So you may be either an island dweller, a dock seeker, or an adventurer. And if you're an island, because those are three stages and they are stages in order that you need to move through in order to get off the island of playing it safe and get to that place where you can give your gifts to the world. Mm. So if you're an island dweller, you know, you're just not ready, but it's good to know what it might take to be a dock seeker, just so you know if you are ready, because how will you know if you don't know what it takes? Mm. If you are a dock seeker, you're doing it on your own. I can figure this out. I'm smart. I'm capable. I can get myself off this island. And you might be in that stage doing that for a very long time. And so I have tools to help people while they are in that dock seeker stage. But the adventurers are the ones that say, okay, I am impatient. I've been at this a long time. I'm smart. I'm capable. I've done a whole lot. I've come pretty far. But guess what? I don't want to wait three more years. I want to get off this island now. And the adventurers are the ones who will hire a coach. Mm. There's more to it, but I have like a little quiz on my website. You know, it just says take this fun quiz and you can discover based on just 9 quick little questions where you are on the island of playing it safe. And after you take the quiz, you will get a little free ebook that says why you don't belong on the island of playing it safe. And it's just kind of another free resource that I have that's fun out there. But it's an internal switch that flips between each one of those stages. Nothing I can do nurturing you in an email, or I can't convince you, right? When you're ready to stand up and go search that island, you're no longer an island dweller. When you're ready to hire a boat to get you off this island, you're no longer a dock seeker. You're an adventurer. Mm. So, but those are internal switches, and they'll flip whenever they're ready to flip.
I'm going to take the quiz. I will email you, make sure that we have that in the show notes, both of those links. Okay. And where else, social media, website, where should people come to learn more and potentially hang out and work with you?
Right. So my website is lindabucher.com. And you can learn a lot about that. But if you go to the contact us or the connection page and send me a note, it'll go to my inbox and, you know, we can set up a conversation. I love to talk with people and meet interesting people and be helpful. And also connect with me on LinkedIn. I don't really go on Facebook very much just to post stuff, but LinkedIn is a good place to message me or or connect with me.
Well, awesome, Linda. This has been fun. I'll also put a link for Conversations Worth Your While in the notes. I forget what we talked about, networking, intentional networking. That was a ton of fun. I'm like, I forget what we talked about. I remember what we talked about because it was a fascinating conversation. That's worth your while as well. So you can learn more about Linda and myself there. And yeah, just thanks again for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Ben, for having me. It's been super fun.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.